And Jay was just saying that you kind of get along with everybody in the locker room. You have a lot of different groups that you hang with. How do you see yourself off the field with the guys on this team?
I'm just a socialite, man, you know. Bear socialite. Find myself talking to a lot of different guys, whether it's defense, offense, or special teams, you know, guys. But, you know, I don't like to just hang out with just the guys who I'm in the huddle with or anything like that. You know, I do a lot of different stuff. I go to, you know, Bible study, and obviously there's different guys from different positions in there. So end up talking to them about, you know, whatever, and hanging out with them. And then also outside of football, you know, guys who usually have children kind of, you know, hang out or talk about that because their lifestyles are pretty similar.
Is there anyone that people would be surprised that you're kind of buddies with?
I don't know. I don't think so.
And Coach Cromer said you might get Wednesdays off pretty much for the rest of the year. But how beat up are you after games, and how much does it help you to have a Wednesday off?
Yeah, Wednesdays do help. I'm not going to say it's like the worst pain in the world. I mean, I'm pretty used to it by now on Wednesdays, that, you know, being sore. It's not that I can't practice. It's just that it's smarter, you know, sometimes not to, just based on getting some rest so that I can go full tilt on Sunday. And I'll trade that off, you know, any day.
Matt, you've accomplished a lot here. Obviously, statistically, you're leading the NFL in receptions right now. You're second behind Walter Payton in almost everything. How important is that stuff to you? And historically, do you look at that a lot?
I don't really look at it a lot. It is important because, obviously, that means I've been doing, you know, some good stuff on the field, and, you know, we've been being successful in the statistical areas. But as far as, like, you know, focusing on that stuff and kind of looking at the stats and, you know, worrying about if I get this many yards this game and all that stuff, I don't really worry about that. You know, if I'm playing ball to the best of my ability, you know, all the other stuff will really fall in place, and at the end of the year, you know, everything will add up.
Matt, what's your philosophy on coming out of the games? I kind of get the impression you're not a big fan of it.
If I'm exhausted or extremely tired, I'm not going to stay in there, because obviously somebody who's fresh can, you know, get in there and do a better job. But most of the time, that's why I condition a lot, to try to stay in there as much as possible. Because, you know, these downs are crucial in games. And sometimes, you know, especially like a third down, if I'm, you know, tired and have to come out of the game and we end up, you know, stopping, not getting a first down or ending the drive, that's, you can't get those back. So, you know, I just like to be in there to keep drives going and keep moving the ball down the field.
What do you feel like on a Monday morning after you get 27 touches, for those of us who have never done that before? What does that feel like?
I was just sore, you know. I get
full body.
Yeah, I mean, your shoulders are sore because obviously hitting guys, and legs are kind of sore from, you know, people tackle. You get hit from every angle, so I say the legs are sore, upper body's a little sore, and there's, like, you know, bumps and bruises everywhere, just like football. Get scrapes and stuff. You know, you're playing on turf. Sometimes it scratches you and stuff. You get scrapes and cleats hit, you know, shins and all that stuff. So you pretty much are, you know, beat up everywhere. But, you know, it doesn't really take me that long to recover anymore because, like I said, you know, the key thing I've learned through being in the league going on 7 years is getting a routine together. And on Monday, I come in and lift weights, which gets, if you don't do anything, if you're stagnant and you're sore, it's not going to get the soreness out. It's going to be worse. So if you lift weights and actually run a little bit, you'll get the lactic acid out and the soreness. And then on Tuesdays, I go downtown where I have a physical therapist I work with and do a lot of different stuff between ART, which is like active motion, active release technique, and there's Graston I do, which you've heard of, and dry needling and stuff like that. So it's really just getting those muscles and stuff working again, and, you know, less sore, and also just getting put back together, like getting put back together after the game, because I figured out, well, I didn't really figure out, but I was made aware of, like, during the game when you get hit and stuff, sometimes bones can shift and, you know, joints can shift and you can be out of line. So it's really about being put back together, everything aligned so that, you know, stuff doesn't carry over to the next week.
That's kind of a brutal image.
Yeah.
Your bones out of place and your joints out of place.
Yeah, you might not, you know, notice that or really think of, you know, a bone being out of place or something like that, but joints do shift and stuff because of, basically they compare it to car wrecks. You know, you being in car wrecks every weekend and, you know, you just got to be put back together and put everything in line.
How did you come to learn that routine? Did anybody tell you the importance of it, or did you quite figure it out on your own?
It takes a while just of, you know, trial and error, really. You know, I was introduced to a guy named Dave Reavy by Tommy Harris when he was first here, and kind of worked with him when I had first, in my second year, injured my hamstring and my knee, and just kept working with him. And then just by, you know, going through physical therapy stuff and just, you know, staying ahead of the game, you learn about, like, stuff like Graston. And last year, they didn't really do dry needling, and some of the people in his office got certified in it. I was kind of skeptical because I'm not a big fan of needles. So, you know, tried it a couple of times and actually felt better after using it. So just by doing that type of stuff. And also, like, diet, too. In off season, talking to a nutritionist and learning that what you put in your body really does affect how you feel in the mornings and on game day, too.
Yeah, the Dolphins have one of the top defenses in the league. What have you seen on film in terms of
That not only in the run, they're pretty good in the pass, too. You know, they really get after the quarterback. Some really fast guys off of the edge. You know, Cameron Wake is a Pro Bowler, and he is definitely a guy we have to, you know, get some chips on and help our tackles out with that. And they get big push up the middle too, which can collapse a pocket. So big thing this week is to, like always, establish the run and be efficient in the run game, especially on first downs and early downs. And then, you know, protect the quarterback, pick up the blitzes, and, you know, let Jay be comfortable. And then he can do like he did last week and make all the throws, and, you know, our receivers can make the plays.
Matt, you've been around Jay for a couple of years now. Do you find him becoming more vocal? I mean, do you think as he gets, like, a better grasp of the system, as you guys play it more, or he takes a bigger role in just letting the guys know what he wants, what he needs?
Yeah. He's been more vocal, basically based off of him, you know, knowing, being around here long enough and knowing the personnel more, and also this being the second year in this office, he knows the offense and he knows the looks and what he wants against this coverage or whatever coverage they're playing. So he's able to voice his opinion and what he wants on those specific routes and stuff, and so that we can get the best made play for, you know, each play.
Were you ever surprised in that sense? I mean, has there ever been, like, a situation where he got up and said something that...
No, it's not surprising. I mean, Jay is the leader of the offense. We really go through him. And, you know, it's not surprising when, you know, sometimes he'll get up in a meeting and kind of explain stuff or, you know, go over what he met with Coach Tressman with so that everybody gets it. So it's not really surprising to me, but it's helpful. I'm glad that he does do it.
On your second touchdown run, were you surprised by the play call that they ran that trap from 9 yards out?
No, not really. It was a good call because, you know, as you look at it now, they were backing off of coverage. And I think probably Coach had a hunch that they would probably try to back off and play, obviously, to keep the ball out of the end zone through a pass. And then to run a quick hitting play up the middle like that and, you know, be able to get in the end zone was a testament to our offensive line of getting downfield and being able to get those blocks.
How does Jay handle when he's taking some big hits? Does he go back and does he ever joke about it, or does he point it out if someone missed something?
Sometimes we joke about it, like the one where the guy didn't hear the whistle and it was a late hit. You know, him and Kyle were saying something about it. He was like, "Yeah, did you see my head hit the ground?" And, you know, sometimes, you know, we joke about it. But if it's something where it's our fault, where somebody's missing a block or something like that, we never joke about it. We got to get it fixed, you know, and we get on, we hold each other accountable to keep the quarterback clean back there.
Back to Larry's question about the milestones, you hit the 7,000, 3,000 mark. Were you aware of that?
I had heard a little buzz about it. I really don't really pay attention to much of it.
Or you did it, I guess, as fast as two other guys all time, Thurman Thomas and Marshall Faulk. Both those guys, obviously, in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Okay,
but, yeah, that's...
To be in that type of group, yeah. Especially with the milestone that's, you know, indicates how complete of a player you are. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, I mean, as a running back, that was the goal, you know, especially playing through college and, you know, learning that, you know, in NFL, you got to be valuable to your team or to have your most value is to be a complete running back, whether it's blocking, running, and catching the ball. So, you know, catching the ball is just as much fun as running the ball out of the, you know, out of the backfield. So, you know, it's another way of getting out in space and, you know, being able to get out in space and make something happen with, you know, not having to put all the pressure on the tight ends and receivers, really.
Do you feel like you've evolved as a receiver? Like, how have you gotten better?
Just continuing to work on it. My hands have gotten, I think, a little better year by year. Not like a ton better, but just, you know, making different catches and, you know, I guess looking the ball in more sometimes, you know, sometimes you can get a little complacent about it and, you know, drop an easy pass, but doing that, route running too, you know, sometimes I watch the receivers and how they run their routes against man coverage and stuff, because most of the time if I'm going to get the ball in a on a route, if it's not like a check down, it'll be a man, you know, coverage. So I watch what they do and try to implement, you know, some of those techniques in my routes.
Your goal was how long you want to play.
Thought about it?
Yeah.
A little bit. I don't know. I feel really good right now, so I kind of feel like I could play a long time, but I never really put a number on it.
Matt, do you think about the Hall of Fame and whether at this point you're deserving of it, or is that something you think about when you finish playing?
I do think about it sometimes. I mean, that's a goal, is to obviously play to where you're considered one of the best to play it and be considered for the Hall of Fame. As of right now, I know I'm not going to, you know, if I stop playing today, I don't think I'd be in the Hall of Fame. So that is obviously a motivation of me to keep being successful and trying to play at the top of my game every game.
Now, you said you don't put a number on it. A lot of people in the media and elsewhere just use the number 30 for running backs, kind of a dreadful age going downhill. Do you put any stock in that? Does that give you extra incentive? I know you're still a couple years away, but What do you think when you hear that?
That's just you know, people's perception of running backs, and it's kind of, I guess they take all the statistics of what running backs and what age they were at when, I guess, they started going downhill, and, you know, it's not the same for everybody, and, you know, perception, I guess, is reality sometimes. So when the people get the perception of running backs start getting, you know, old at 20 whatever, 28, 29, 30, they think that's real. But like I always say, I'm like the fine wine, get better with age.
Did Alshon's emergence last season open things up for you as a receiver a little more?
Yeah, with him and Brandon, you know, having Brandon on one side and then they have to worry about Alshon and his emergence from last year. As you can see, when he started catching those balls like that, all those underneath routes really came in. That's when I caught the most balls last year, was later in the season when they started dropping off coverage.
So are you considered one of the young guys or the old guys?
I'm still young, yeah. Yeah.
Considering in that locker room.
Yeah, I think I'm in between right now, something like that, because some of the guys, in the you know, the rookies in their first year, they look at a guy who's in his seventh year like, man, he's in his seventh year? That's kind of old, I guess.
Yeah.
But, no. Sometimes they look and see a couple grays in there, but that's my dad's fault.